Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
There are over 900 names and titles for God. There are all of these beautiful ways that God reveals himself to us in Scripture. All of these different amazing names and titles that he lets us know who he is. And I maybe just want to say that very quickly. God is not a mystery. God is a revealer, and God wants you to know him. And so he gave us his word to show us who he is. And one of those names that I really love, one of those names that I have needed so often in my life, is God reveals himself in Romans 15, 33 as the God of peace. This is who God is. If you think about God and you don't get peace, you're thinking about the wrong God. Because he's the God of peace. When the Apostle Paul is writing to his churches all throughout the epistles, he would often open with a greeting, grace and peace. I want to remind you today, church, that the gospel should feel like grace and peace. That our Christian experience should be able to be summed up in grace and peace. Not fear and legalism, not worry and religion, but grace and peace. That when people who do not know the Lord look at your life, they ought to be able to feel grace and peace. That the grace and peace of God is what will draw people to God. I'll tell you, when I walked in today and we began to worship the Lord, I'll tell you what I felt. I felt grace and peace. I could feel the good presence of the Lord and the good hand of God in this house. And I'm so grateful for his grace and peace. I'm so grateful today for the peace of God that protects us and the peace of God that grounds us and anchors us. And today I want you to know that the peace of God is available to every person. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment, think about this, that was brought on him, that he brought upon himself, brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. Jesus literally paid the price on the cross for your peace. It is a part of the atonement, and it is the advantage of every child of God that no matter what you're going through, you can have the peace of God. Gideon meets God in Judges chapter 6. Gideon was full of fear. Gideon was in a battle. Gideon was in hiding. Gideon was the weakest of the weakest family. He was born on the wrong side of the tracks and the wrong family on the wrong side of the tracks. And God meets with him. God speaks to him. God calls him by name. And after Gideon meets God, Gideon does not say God is powerful or God is mighty or God is wonderful or God is strong. After an encounter with God, Gideon would say this in Judges 6, the Lord is peace. I met God and I got peace. God talked to me and I got peace. I met with the Lord and I got peace. I was one way before I met God and I was another way after the Lord. Here's the only way I know how to describe God. He is peace. What Gideon literally said in the Hebrew language that the Bible was written in, the Old Testament was written in, is he said, Jehovah Shalom. This word shalom means completeness, welfare, tranquility, contentment, and soundness. He said, I'm at peace now that I've met God. This is so awesome. This reminds me that peace is not a place. Peace is not a social status. Peace is not a circumstance. Peace is a person. God has a name, and it is Jehovah Shalom. Peace has a name, and that name is Jesus. Does anybody know that name, Jesus? Come on, give him praise today. I'm so grateful for the peace of God. The peace of God is supernatural. The peace of God is beyond circumstance. The peace of God is greater than the storm. The Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 4, there was a woman in Shunem, and her little boy died. She calls for the prophet Elisha, and she says, you need to get to my house. I need you. Elisha says, is everything okay? And she says, it is well. Now, what she said in the Hebrew language is shalom. Now, everything in her circumstances was going wrong, but she was at peace. Nothing was going right on the outside. She's looking at her dead boy, but she said shalom. Peace is not denial. Peace is more powerful than my circumstance. Ooh. You know, I know people who got everything going right and they ain't got no peace. I know people with money in the bank, no peace. I know people who married their soulmate, no peace. I know people who are driving my dream car, no peace. I know people who have homes on the hill, no peace. Because peace is greater than anything going on around me. And she was able to look at her dead dying boy and say, shalom. She was able to look at a tough circumstance and say, it is well. Not because everything is worked out yet on the outside, but because God is doing something on the inside that will eventually anchor me through every storm of my life. Can I get an amen right there? I'm talking about peace. Sociologists tell us that between Thanksgiving and Christmas, more people will attempt suicide and commit suicide than the rest of the year combined. This is a great season for many, but it's a very dark season for others. Some of you are missing family. Some of you are recently divorced. Some of you won't spend Christmas with your kids this year. Others of you will have to do other things, and it's become a very dark time. Addiction rises during this time. Depression rises during this time. Suicide rises during this time, and it's during this time that I want to offer you something that is greater than the darkness that is all around you, greater than temperamental relief, greater than circumstantial change. I want to tell you about the peace of God, friend, that can sustain you, that you could be going through hell, but you will make it through the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because that peace is going to sustain you and you will fear no evil because his rod and his staff comfort you. In the name of Jesus, I'm talking about peace. I live in a city with lots of sunshine, really good weather, lots of money, lots of pleasure, lots of gambling, lots of alcohol, lots of drugs, lots of weed dispensaries, lots of strip clubs. Cover your kids' ears. And not a lot of peace. I know what it is to live in a city that has every natural pleasure you could think of at your fingertips 24 hours a day. No peace. Because peace is supernatural. And today God's going to give you peace. Come on, I said today God's going to give you peace. Woo! Man, I like this 10:45 service. All right. Number one. The peace of God is a gift we receive. It's a gift. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Now watch what Jesus says here. Not as the world gives. I want you to notice there's two kinds of peace. There's God's peace and the world's peace. There's a peace Jesus can give you, and there's a peace the world can give you. God's peace is strong. The world's peace is fragile. God's peace is eternal. The world's peace is temporal. God's peace is internal. The world's peace is circumstantial. And Jesus is saying, don't settle for the world's peace because it won't be enough. It won't be enough. And some of you have settled for the world's peace. Here's how you know you have the world's peace. You're constantly telling yourself, if I just had a little more, if we just had a little more money, if the marriage was just a little, and you don't have any contentment, that's the world's peace. Because the world's peace is always saying you just need a little more. The world's peace will lie to you and promise you a peace that only God can give you in Christ, but it will always only lead to more emptiness, more anxiety, and more fear. We are the most anxious nation in the world, and we are the most anxious nation in history since anxiety has been measured. The average minor today exhibits the same levels of anxiety that the average psychiatric patient did in the 1950s. We got more stuff, we got more money, we got more education, we got more technology, we got more exposure. We ain't got no peace. The world's path to peace has proven over and over again to be a dead end. Looking within, looking to material things, looking to social acceptance, all have a short shelf life. Paul would talk about the difference between the natural and the spiritual in Ephesians 5:18. He says this, don't get drunk with wine. Now watch why he says don't do this. Wherein is excess? Okay, it's a little clunky in the King James, but I want you to capture what he's saying. It'll never be enough. You know, drug addicts don't start on meth. Hello? You don't start on cocaine. It starts little and it grows. Because when you drink of the wine of this world, this isn't an alcohol sermon, relax, everybody chill out. But I am talking about wherever you're being inebriated, wherever you're being drunk, wherever you're trying to find your satisfaction, you'll never have enough money. The truck will never be big enough. The house will never be nice enough. The boat will never be fast enough. Your wife will never be hot enough. Your husband will never be nice enough. The kids will never act right enough. You'll never have enough in the account. Anytime you are drinking from the world system and the wine of this world, you're always gonna need more. You're always gonna need excess. And so what you really need, look what Paul goes on to say. He doesn't say, don't get drunk with wine, you sinners. He says, don't get drunk with wine. Wherein is excess, there's something more you need. It's actually an eternal, supernatural thing that you're actually craving God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That what you really want is God. What you really need is God. That anything the devil can give you is a cheap Temu fake version of the real thing that only God can give you. Oh, can I preach a little bit right there? You're craving God. That's why you're here. You need God. That's why you're here. There's something in you. God said, I put eternity in your heart. I put this beacon on the inside of you, drawing you back to your creator. I need God. I need God. You need God. We need God. I'm talking to Christians. You need God. I'm talking to people who have your life figured out. You need God. I'm talking about small group leaders in here. You need, we can never forget our need for God. You know, when God is creating in Genesis, he's the creator in Genesis, and he does something very interesting. He creates water, and then he tells the water, make fish. It's really weird. It's in the Bible. You can read it later. Not right now. He tells water, make fish. He doesn't create fish, he makes water. And he tells the water to make fish, and the water creates fish. It's like straight out of Moana or something. I don't know what's going on. And see, when you take a fish and you take it out of the water, that fish dies because you remove the fish from its source. Then he does something crazy. Then he creates dirt. He creates earth. He creates land, and he tells the land, create plants. He doesn't say tree B. He says dirt, make plants. And the dirt pops out plants. That's why, gentlemen, when you're trying to be nice to your wife and you buy her a bouquet of flowers and they look so pretty in the kitchen for a couple of days, and all of a sudden one day you just walk down to the kitchen and the flowers are dead. You go, oh, the flowers died. They were already dead. Because you remove them from their source. So when God creates fish, he talks to water. And when God creates plants, he talks to dirt. But when God created Adam, when God created humanity, when God created us, he didn't talk to dirt, he didn't talk to water, he didn't even talk to oxygen. When God created man, he had to talk to himself. And he said, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And God created us out of his very image. And like, what am I saying? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying a fish needs water and a tree needs dirt, and Jabin needs Jesus, and you need Jesus. And we can't live our life separated from the source of joy, the source of peace, the source of love, the source of life. And even as your life gets better, and even as God blesses your life, and even as the word of God and the principles of the word start working for you, praise God for all of that. Don't forget, we need God. Because true peace is only found in Jesus. The peace of God, is the choice we make. Peace is a choice. You will keep him in perfect peace. Who does God keep in perfect peace? Notice, not perfect circumstances, not perfect weather, not perfect marriage, not perfect business, not perfect kids, not perfect parents, perfect peace. How does God keep me in perfect peace? Whose mind is stayed on him. You know, I think we make Christianity real difficult sometimes. Christianity is a walk with God. It's a staying on the things of God. It's a covenant with God. It's a relationship with God. God moves, we move with him. God speaks, we honor his word. You know, I think of Isaiah when he says, you're going to mount up with wings of eagles, you're going to run and not grow weary, you're going to walk and not be faint. I've always thought Isaiah said that in the wrong order, right? Because if you're a Pentecostal like me, you want to rev it up. Amen, everybody. So you want to see, you're going to walk with God, then you're going to run with God, then you're going to soar with God. Hallelujah. I mean, it just feels a lot better. But that's actually not what God wants. He wants a walk. That the greatest thing God can take you into is not soaring or running. It's a walk with him. It's back to Genesis, walking with God in the cool of the day. Don't make this more difficult than it has to be. Just start walking with the Lord. Be anxious for nothing. Wow, easy for you to say, Paul. Do you ever read the Bible and it just offends you? Verse one, like you're just like, oh, really? Well, let me just remind you that Paul did not say this from the penthouse of the Wynn Hotel in Vegas. Paul didn't say this from the White House. Paul didn't say this from his house. Paul is in prison and he goes, there's a way to live free from anxiety and live in the peace of God. There is a way to be circumstantially in hell, but have peace on the inside. How do I do it? In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Don't lose your gratitude. Let your requests be made known to God, and watch what will happen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Is Paul saying that the only answer that God gives you in prayer is peace? No. But when you pray, you always get peace. Peace is not the only answer to your prayer, but peace always comes with prayer. And anxiety and worry, Craig Rochelle said, it's like that check engine light reminding you it's time to pray again. Don't beat yourself up for being anxious. Don't beat yourself up for dealing with worry and fear. Let it draw you to God, not away from God. Let it remind you to pray. Let it remind you to get back in the Word of God. Let me just say this. I just feel like an old preacher. I'm 42 and I'm just being old. You got to read the Bible. Amen, preacher. I'll take an amen right there from somebody. Can I get an amen from the rapture section up there? Amen. Okay. If Jesus comes back, you going first, okay? So tell us how it is. You got to read the Bible. You know that they did a study on Bible reading, and here's what they found. They found that if you read the Bible 1 to 3 times a week, it doesn't do much. It doesn't really affect you. But if you will read the Bible at least 4 times a week, it goes from 1 to 3 times, boom, and it shoots up at 4 times. I don't know why, but I think it has to do with what the very scripture says, that as you hide God's word in your heart, it literally does something in your spirit. Look what happens. If you will read the Bible at least 4 times a week, feelings of loneliness drop by 30%, anger issues drop by 32%, bitterness and unforgiveness drop by 42%, alcoholism drop by 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant dropped by 60%. Viewing pornography dropped by 62%. Sharing your faith increased by 200%. And your desire to serve others increased by 230%. God's word works. Prayer works. Come on, we still believe in a walk with God that transforms your life, transforms your business, transforms your family and your children. Come on, can you say amen to that if you know that the word of God still works? That when you get in the word gets in you. When you read the word reads you. Jesus said, you will be cleansed, you will be cut, you will be cleaned by the word. That God uses the word to transform you from the inside out. That's how God prunes you and shapes you and molds you. Peace. Lastly, the peace of God begins with peace with God. Of the team come. If you're new to church, maybe you started coming last week. When the team comes up at the end, that's like, it's almost lunchtime. Okay, so decide what you want at Cracker Barrel. We're going to beat the Baptist there in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. We're going to beat them there. Peace of God starts with peace with it. You'll never have peace. Watch, please look at me. You'll never have peace until you know you're at peace with God. Until you believe that God loves you and is not against you. Until you see God as a loving heavenly Father who cares for you. Jesus, a Savior who paid the ultimate price for you. Until that is settled, you'll never have peace. And the Bible says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, not through works, through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. I can have peace knowing that I've been justified by my faith in Him. Not my works. See, I grew up in a works church. I grew up in a church called Grace Fellowship. It should have been called, I don't know, I was thinking the other day, what it should have been called, like Legalism Fellowship, or then I thought it should have just been called No. Just makeup, no. Women in pants, no. Movies, no. We had a crisis of faith when Passion of the Christ did. It was like, are we allowed to go to the movie theater? I don't know. Are we allowed to? Yes, but don't tell anybody. Amen. No. And so we lived with the fear of, man, if you sinned that day and Jesus came back, I mean, you might miss the rapture. Man, if you have an unconfessed sin in your heart and you didn't talk to God about it before you died, you go to hell. That's how we were raised. I lived with this thought of, I've got to do enough. And this is in the name of Jesus. This is a Christian church. You have to do enough. And hopefully on the day I die, I've done enough good works that outweigh the bad works so I can go to heaven. Let me remind you that on the cross, Jesus did not say, hey guys, good news. It's 99% finished. Good luck with that 1%. He didn't say that. He said, paid in full. And I've got peace with God today because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to Him be all the glory and the honor and the thanksgiving and the praise that we could not save ourselves. We were dead in our sins. But like Lazarus, Jesus came to the tomb of our soul and said, Lazarus, come forth. And we got up. Come on. Let's give Him the glory today for that. To God be the glory. To Jesus be the praise. Can I remind you? Why don't you stand? It'll remind me to finish. Can I remind you? We were singing a song, we give you all the glory. You know what we didn't sing this morning? We give us all the glory. We did a really good job. We got to church on the coldest day of the year. We didn't sing that, huh? We didn't sing it. It doesn't really have a ring to it. We give us all the glory. We helped a lot of kids for Christmas. We are really good people. We give us all the glory. We paid our tithe in full. We are so generous. We didn't. No, I'm so proud of you for coming to church on a cold day. I'm so grateful that we helped all those kids. I'm so grateful to every person who tithes and serves and gives and pours out their life to the things of God. But all of that is a response to God's mercy, to God's salvation, to what Jesus did for us. So I'd live a holy life, and I live a generous life, and I want to live a life of integrity and honor. But it's not to earn my way to heaven. It's to say, thank you, God, for saving me, for pulling me out of the pit, putting my feet on the rock. To God be the glory. And I can't say it enough. And I can't thank him enough. And I can't shout hallelujah enough. God did this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe, not earn, believe, not try, believe, not do, believe, not follow the Ten Commandments, though I think you should, believe, not stop cussing, though I don't recommend it, believe. Have everlasting life. And then once you believe, the Holy Spirit will do in you what you could have never done on your own anyway. Salvation is about believing, not achieving. It's about receiving, not trying. It's about saying yes, not earning. Grace sets the table, and all faith has to do is eat. I'm telling you, he set a table for you today. All you got to do is eat. You don't try. See, that's what religion is. Religion is trying. Religion is maybe by the end of my life, I've done enough. That when I cross over to the other side, hopefully I've done enough. That's religion. That's every world religion in a nutshell. You trying to get to God. The gospel is so radically different. It's God saying, I am holy and I live in unapproachable light. You could never get to me. So I'm going to wrap myself in flesh and blood, and I'm going to come in the womb of Mary, and I will be born to a woman, and I will live a perfect, I will live the life you could never live. Then I'll pay the price you could never pay. Then I'll defeat an enemy you could never defeat. And all you have to do is say, yes. That's the gospel. The gospel is not us getting to God. The gospel is God got to us. And I come every Sunday to say, thank you, Lord, that you made a way where there was no way. And now he's offering you that peace, peace with God. I'm going to talk to three groups of people right now. Number one, I'm going to talk to a group of people you've never given your life to the Lord. June 10th, 1998, in Del Rio, Texas, I said yes to Jesus. I knew church, I didn't know God. I knew how to act in a service, I didn't know God. I knew Christianese, I didn't know God. I knew the lyrics to Jesus Freak. I'm dating myself. I didn't know God. I knew the lyrics to Shout to the Lord. I didn't know God. And if you don't know the Lord, today's your day to start a walk with him. And in a moment, I'm going to call you forward to say yes to Jesus. Number two, there's another group. You're like the prodigal son. At one time, you had a walk with God, but you just walked away. And today the Father's saying, come on home. I've got a ring for your finger. I've got sandals for your feet. I've got a coat to put over you. We've prepared a party just for you. Come home today. Come home today. Stop running from God. You have found yourself in the pig pen of your own decisions. And today, I believe by the preaching of the gospel, you're coming to your senses and you're saying, I had it so much better at the Father's house. Come on home today. Number three, there's another group of you, and you would, I think mentally, theologically, even you would say, man, I know I'm going to heaven, but my heart is so cold. I have no living relationship with the Lord. Maybe, and I really felt this for somebody, you've gone through something real painful, and you've just, your heart's so far from Him. And like the Old Testament prophets, I just want to say, return to the Lord. Let Him heal you today. Come back into a walk with God. And if you're one of those three groups of people, I'm going to call you back to Jesus today. And I believe this will be a miracle moment. I want you to know this, and I felt this of the Lord. People have been praying for you. Parents have been praying for you. Friends and family have been praying for you. Spouses have been praying for you. This leadership team, we've been praying for you. We've been praying over seats and anointing this whole building with oil in preparation for you. We've got kids who have been praying for you. And when you walk down here, it's going to be an answer to somebody's prayer. I want you to know that's how much God loves you. So I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Such a sacred moment. I feel the Lord drawing you to Himself. I feel it already. He's so near right now. He's so near. I'm going to ask you to pray. We're all going to pray this prayer out loud, but it's going to mean so much for those three groups of people to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Everybody say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. Forgive me of my sins. Make me a new creation. Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender my life to you. And I receive your life. Jesus is Lord of my life. Thank you, Lord. Just stay in a sacred space of prayer here. I'm going to do two things because I want to help you. I'm telling you, the devil's going to do everything he can to keep you in your seat. And to convince you to make this a little secret, quiet deal with God. And so I'm going to come against that right now, and I'm going to call you to publicly profess the name of Jesus. Your walk with the Lord is very personal, but it cannot be private. And the enemy would try to talk you out of this moment to steal the word from your heart, but I'm fighting against that right now because I feel you right now. I can feel you and I love you. And I just believe the Lord is prompting me right now to just call you. So if you're one of those three groups of people and you'd say, Jabin, that was my prayer. You stopped this service just for me. Today I'm saying yes to the Lord. Today I'm rededicating my life to Christ. Or I want to start a fresh walk with Jesus today. If that's you, I'm going to count to three. On three, you're going to raise your hand and I want to acknowledge you. And before I call you forward, I just want to see your hand, and I want you to just raise that hand as a sign of surrender, not even to me, but to the Lord, just saying, yep, that was my prayer, God. God, you saw me today. You heard me today. God, this is, don't wait till January 1st. Don't wait till Easter 2026. This is your moment right now to say yes to the Lord. Jabin, I prayed that prayer, and I feel the Lord calling me. I know this is my day of salvation, my day of recommitment, my day of personal revival. You know who you are. Would you say yes to Him right now? One, two, and three. Would you raise your hand? Raise your hand high. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you, guys. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you here. God bless you here. Keep raising your hand, would you? Would you? If you haven't raised your hand yet, you know you should. Would you do it now? God bless you there. Come on, keep. Say yes to the Lord. God bless you here. God bless you here. Please say yes to Him. He's already said yes to you. On the cross, He said, I love you this much. I care for you this much. The work is finished. Now just say yes. The table's been set. Just say yes. God bless you. God bless you. As quickly as you raise your hand now, that quick, get out of your seat. and come to this altar right now. Come on, begin to come right now. Please come. Please come. God's going to do a work in your life as you come forward. Would you? I'm begging you to come. I'm pleading with your soul to come forward. I believe God wants to meet you right now. I believe chains are breaking off of you as you move. I believe you're leaving your old life in that seat and you're coming forward. Would you come now? I'm pleading at every location, every campus, online. Would you say yes to Jesus today? Believe on him now. Come on, come, come, come. Please come. Please keep coming. As they continue to come, would you please look at your friend to your left or right? Maybe they're a total stranger. Say this. Say, if you need to go down there, I'll go with you. Come on, tell them that right now. If you need to go down there, I'll go with you. Please come now. If they even give you a head nod, grab them. Grab them. I see you. I see you. I see you. God bless you. God bless you. Please keep coming. I'm telling, if you need a personal revival in your life, keep coming. If you need to get water baptized, come forward. I'm just telling you, I feel the Lord leading people. I feel that I can't give it up yet. I'm almost done, I promise.
We give you all the glory.
Keep if you need to come, just please come now.
We worship you.
If God's pulling on your heart, I just give one more invitation. I'm almost done, I promise.
Worthy to be.
Even one more person, if you need to come, would you do it now? We give you all.
We give you all.
Praise for one moment. If there's even one more person, we just look around this audience one more time. If you need to come forward, we give you that opportunity.
We give you
all the glory.
We worship you, our Lord. You are worthy to be praised.
Pastor's coming. Just before he does, I declare a year of peace and rest over James River Church. Peace. I speak peace to the storm. I speak peace to every vile word of accusation. I speak peace over this house. And I declare 26 will be a year of rest, of recovery, and of peace. I declare the heavens are open over this house. That it would be a year of the supernatural. More healings than you've ever seen. More answers than you've ever known. More salvations than you could dream of. And I thank you, Lord, that you give us that peace. And it will not just be on the house. It'll be on every person, on every family. The enemy you see, that's what God told Moses. As Egypt was swept into the Red Sea, he said, the enemy you see, you won't see anymore. And I just want to see, I want to say things that have chased you and chased you and chased you. God drowns those things in the sea today. And there's a breakthrough in this house. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's say amen to that. Amen.